On this episode, we share our favorite 3D Sega Saturn games that showcase what the system was capable of, which classics made the cut, which hidden gems do we have up our sleeves, and how about that Minecraft movie? All this and more on Sega Talk. SegaBits presents Sega Talk, a podcast talking all things
Sega,
with your hosts, George and Barry.
Look, it's a giant talking egg. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the master here. So what?
And hello and welcome to episode number 148. We are almost to episode 150. This is Sega Talk. I am Barry, and with me is 3D George.
Hello, everybody.
You're 3D.
Yes, and you're 3D as well.
But I'm in the first person. Isn't that, you know, like you're riding in your body?
Right.
You ever think about that?
Sometimes I think about that. Like, our brain is what we are, mobilizing
We're here, but then I can see me, and people can see me, but they're in their body.
But it's like, every time you control mechs in video games, it's like so much cooler than controlling a human body. Like, our limitations are not as are so lame compared to like a robot.
I know. Well, but on this episode, if you can't tell, we're going to be talking about 3D Sega Saturn games, specifically our favorites, but we'll also bring up, you know, ones that pop into our heads. Who picked this episode, Barry? Well, thanks for asking. The picker on this episode is Zachary Ross, and I will save George the torment of plugging Patreon. I will do that for him.
Wow.
So if you support us on Patreon at any level, you get this episode early. In fact, the last episode, people are they're still enjoying it early. It hasn't gone up yet because it went out a little late, so I wanted to give the patrons a little early access to that. But as you move up the tiers, you get more perks. Michael S., Daniel Andres, and Zachary Ross got the perk of having us speak their names in our 3D bodies out into your... Is audio in 3D? I guess it is, yeah.
Could be.
Into your 3D ears. And they're also in the picker tier, which means that they pick what we talk about. And Zachary threw this one at us. He said the best of Sega Saturn 3D. And because he's the picker, I'm going to read his memories before we really get into it. So he says Panzer Dragoon Zwei was the culmination of the development team masterfully using the hardware in creative, technical, and artistic ways. It was vast improvement over the original game in scope, graphics, frame rate, and even sound. The atmosphere that the developers of so many 3D Saturn games were so distinct and tied to the hardware itself. Many games would probably not be replicated on competing consoles at the time. Zwei displayed fluidity in the movement of the quads on screen, mixed with the sprite work that filled the environment and worked seamlessly with three-dimensional environments. This is why I regard Panzer Dragoon Zwei as the best demonstrated and realized three-dimensional Saturn game created. Other games that I believe should be held in high technical regard are Sonic R, Traveler's Tales had a very clear vision of Sonic Racing Game and wowed with their technical prowess on the expertise of the hardware. Last Bronx, I believe, was the best-looking fighting game. The scaling of the backgrounds and sprites with the camera movement during a battle made the illusion of a fully 3D environment quite believable with true, highly polygonal characters with excellent textures. Sega Rally is a very accessible game to the system and faithfully recreated from the arcade version of the Saturn. It plays great, looks stunning, and is my favorite 3D racing game on any system. Burning Rangers is a short but stunning presentation of what the team can do with finally understanding the hardware in and out. Yeah, they were a little late. It actually came out like a few months before Dreamcast came
out. That's why it's
rare. Like, guys, we finally got it.
That's why it's rare.
Yeah, I know. Generous 3D environments, light mapping, transparencies, and particle effects. There are so many wonderful three-dimensional games on the Sega Saturn, and many stories from developers indicate that it wasn't so easy to develop for during the life on the market. I think we can applaud the efforts and success of the developers that created some of the most interesting, beautiful, and creative games during the 3D renaissance of gaming, especially on the wonderful Sega Saturn. And, yeah.
That's
put
the episode.
Put it very beautifully. That's it.
Thanks for...
but he makes a good point there because very often you'll be like, oh, this Dreamcast game was a PlayStation game, or this game being ported to this like modern console, like the Capcom Fighting Collection coming out next year with Power Stone. That was a Naomi game that's kind of like a Dreamcast game, but very, very rarely do you see something where they're like, oh, this was a Saturn game, but it's playable on Xbox now. You know what I mean?
It is rare. It's funny that...
Insanely rare.
The shoot 'em ups are getting a resurgence. Like, Batsun got a it got a re-release on Switch recently, and it literally says Sega Saturn Tribute Boost version or something on the box. So it's a Saturn version, not the arcade. Ikagura got a new version on Switch with a new gameplay mode, I think. And that gameplay mode was patched into the Sega Saturn version, so you could play the new little mode they added on the Sega Saturn now, which I think is cool when they do that. And that's another 3D game. I mean, not Ikagura, Radiant Silver Gun. That's another 3D shoot 'em up game that is on the Sega Saturn. I was going to say to you, what is your opinion on the Sega Saturn's 3D? Because like back in the day, they were making a big deal about everything turning 3D, and there was like a fever. Yeah. Like almost anybody would buy games just because they were 3D.
Right. Yeah, I think Saturn's 3D is more an aesthetic. Mm-hmm. It's not quite there. It's oftentimes hard to get past the limitations, which is why I think a lot of these games are more niche, have smaller fan bases. I think when the Dreamcast came out, and I remember feeling this at the time too, I was like, I don't feel held back by the 3D graphics anymore. I'm not looking at this and going, oh, you kind of got to get past this and that, and then you can enjoy the game. Like, even great games like Knights had that issue, but I think once, you know, Sonic Adventure had its flaws, but I just, at more often than not, I was not feeling like I was wrestling with the limitations of the hardware. And I think that's why a lot of the games that we'll be talking about on this episode don't fall into that trap. I mean, we could do an episode where, like, the worst 3D Saturn games, but I don't want to do that.
Right, because, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, we don't hate Sega. Sega never does any wrong.
Right.
But... Yeah, so on this episode, the way I thought we would do it is I picked five categories. It's our favorite 3D fighter, 3D racer, 3D platformer, 3D RPG, hidden gem, and then all-around game. And then we'll also have some runner-ups at the end. And so let's just kick things off. I'm going to call out my favorite 3D fighter. And Zachary gave us a little tease there in the intro. It's Last Bronx, released in 1997 by AM3. Zachary said it best, I think. This game, it's the best-looking 3D fighter on the console.
Yeah, for sure.
A big improvement over, honestly, the only other franchise really on it is, like, Virtua Fighter,
right?
And then you have Fighting Vipers and Mega Mix, but those kind of branch out from Virtua Fighter, so it stands out in that regard. The backgrounds are amazing. It's just a shame that you aren't actually in them. Like, they surround you, but it's not like you're running around a city. It's no Power Stone.
No.
But still, I feel like AM3, you know, who we don't usually think of as a fighting game team, really did a great job on this game. What are your thoughts on Last Bronx?
This is definitely a hidden gem that I picked up on the whim when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I just found it. It was cheap. I picked it up. And it was one of those games that blew my mind because it's a technically like an anime. It really leans heavy on its anime themes with the cutscenes and stuff. But the 3D models were really impressive. It reminded me kind of a more respectful version of Dead or Alive, where they're just not having women in bikinis shaking their boobs at you.
Right.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
And it did lean on the 90s anime aesthetic, and I really like it at the time. And I really liked, obviously, the graphics. And I like that you use weapons in this game, which is something that's unique for Virtua Fighter. And they really did try to kind of separate themselves. This is more of an anime fighting game than... And Virtua Fighter is trying to be more realistic, so that's cool.
Yeah, it does remind me a bit of that other weapons-based game. I'm blanking
Soul
on it.
Soul Calibur?
Soul Calibur, which is, you know, one of my favorite Dreamcast fighters. But yeah, it's kind of Sega's take on Soul Calibur. Mm-hmm. We talked about this game back in 2019 on a Sega Talk. So if you want to hear us talk about it for an hour, that's there.
Right.
George, what is your favorite 3D fighter?
So I picked Virtual Fighter 2, and I don't think it's too much of a surprise for people. This is one of the first times I played a 3D Sega Saturn game where I was like, whoa, this is so crisp. The textures look good. I thought that at the time the backgrounds looked good. I think you could tell that there's flat textures to save poly count for the front. And I knew that back then, but I was just impressed at how fast, how smooth, and how it looked almost, to me at the time, exactly like the arcade version. It's not exactly, but it's close enough that it tricked me as a child. And I was like, oh man, I couldn't get enough of it. It almost felt criminal being able to play this game at home without putting so many quarters in. And I was just like, oh man, I could play again. Right. So I really enjoyed it at the time. This is a great game. What's your opinion on Virtual Fighter 2?
Well, I mean, releasing in 1995, it was coming off of some other great sequels that we saw from Sega games, and I think this was really the era where Sega was revisiting a lot of their modern classics and outdoing themselves and really showing that. And I know, you know, like movie fans are always like, oh, the original's always better than the sequel, but in video games, more often than not, the sequel's better than the original. Even outside of Sega, you see that with, you know, Red Dead Redemption, which is actually a sequel in and of itself. And then Red Redemption 2 outdoes that. Sonic 2 outdoes Sonic. Sonic 3 outdoes Sonic 2. And in this case, Virtua Fighter 2 set the precedent for AM2 outdoing themselves every time. I know some people might argue that maybe Virtua Fighter 2 is better than Virtua Fighter 3 TV. On the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's debatable.
Debatable. It pioneers so much new technology, the third game. It's funny because some of the tech they actually go back on. But like having a different button and the weird stages having slopes.
Yeah, and but yeah, it just it continues the lore, even though I know a lot of people don't follow that. I know we have friends that do.
Yes.
And I always get a kick out of that. Like, oh yeah, there's a story. But yeah, it's really, honestly, you can't go wrong with Virtua Fighter 2, which is just like a fantastic sequel to the, in my opinion, like the ultimate 3D fighting game, the original Virtua Fighter, which has still been, like I revisit it still, and it feels so pure.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like, you know, a bunch of gimmicks got in the way. And thankfully, throughout Virtua Fighter's run, they didn't fall into that trap. I'm interested to see when the series returns, what will happen. And I think it will return.
Someday.
People have been taking, what do you call those? Surveys from Sega.
And they've been
and
asking.
They've been asking a lot about, like, who's your favorite Virtua Fighter character, etc. So I think it will be happening. I just hope they kind of continue that trend of, not like, I don't know, like having a guy with like a cheetah head, you know, like it doesn't,
right.
or, you know, add more people from other parts of the world. That's what I always love about it. It's like the world coming together to fight, basically.
I agree. It would be interesting to see it come back, cause especially right now with the esports and guest characters. Like, are they going to fall into the trap where we have, I don't know, the Joker from the Joker new movie that just came out is actually Joaquin Phoenix. It's like, are we going to do that?
No, but, you know, that's a good point. I could definitely see, like, a new Virtua Fighter bringing in characters from Yakuza, bringing in Ryo Hazuki and Lan D.
That'd be awesome.
I think they could definitely get away with that. I think that would be very cool. Moving on to this next category, I'm going to have you go first. Favorite 3D racer.
I picked Sega Rally, and I think no one should be surprised. This is one of the games that Sega really promoted. They basically gave it out for free. Like, I know there's like a bunch of different versions. There's like a Netlink version. There's this one that came in like jewel case CD that came with consoles or was given away somehow. I don't know how that happened, but
yeah,
obviously I got this in my hands, and it's so impressive. I usually don't like these sort of rally games. I never even thought I would want to play a rally game as a kid. But playing this game was really fun. The mountains, the effects of the dirt while you're drifting, having mud, having sand, the voice act, like having a guy telling you stuff. It became basically an iconic meme. I even hear it on like recently new podcasts. I think I, like the other day I had a podcast in the background. I forgot what. And the guy said something about how like somebody was controlling this guy. It was like nothing to do with video games. And the guy goes, easy left, right, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, there's
meme
with Wiggum in the back of the car and Homer, or Wiggum's driving and Homer's in the back of the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a great pick. Yeah. AM2, 1995, like same year as Virtua Fighter 2. It's just wild that, you know, they're getting away with that.
Yeah. And it's crazy because people say the Sega Saturn didn't have too many 3D games. The fact that two of the best looking early games right away, they were really trying. Like, here's a little effect that's happening right now if you're watching the video. It's the helicopter that comes in. They did little things like that all the time. You know what I mean? In this game, yeah, when you're racing. So it's really like a showcase of what the Saturn was capable of. It's a great port. Definitely, if you don't, even if you think you don't like racing games, it's worth trying this game. And it's cheap. Very cheap to buy.
Oh, I just... AM3 did Sega Rally,
right,
correct?
Right, yes. That's what
I said AM2.
Yeah.
But still, Last Bronx then, you know, like
it's,
Last Bronx is Sega
Rally. Misoguchi that did Space Channel 5 worked on it, so it's a pretty good game. Yeah.
And you know, you look at that, and you look at the mentality that they're coming from, like Daytona was a huge game. Even before that, we had Virtual Racing. And so it's like, how can we step it up? And the big thing is uneven surfaces and cars that don't just stick to the road. And that's honestly why I made my pick, which I'll get into in a moment. But I think Sega Rally, to me, kind of usurps Daytona USA on the Saturn specifically because, one, I think Daytona USA on the Saturn's not that great of a port. I think the best one is the one that you can actually find on Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really great port. But also, Sega Rally, like I said, the cars don't feel like they're locked to the ground. They don't. It doesn't feel like an early racing game. It really feels like they've... It almost feels like a game that was ready for the Dreamcast, but released just a little too early. And it's just... It's so cool to see how the cars move around and kind of tilt and jump up, and it's...
They're doing advanced stuff in the game. It almost feels like it's a demake of a newer game. Like they put like fake old Saturn textures on a newer game sometimes, the way that
and things
looks.
Get dirty, like textures change to, and it's just it's really technically amazing. The game I picked was, and I had to pick this because otherwise we would get flamed in the comments, was Sonic R from Traveler's Tales, released in 1997.
Why would we get flamed for this? Like not picking
because
this?
People there are
they
people,
wobble in this game. They don't even run. They're like wobbling in this game. Come on, dude.
There are people who cite Sonic R as their favorite Sonic game
of all time,
and of all time.
Oh
and
my
it,
god!
I love I guys. This game. I'm like a contemporary to this game. Like I grew up when this game was like it.
And what do you
and
tell
at
these
the time,
people?
Oh, I'm just saying to them that at the time we looked at this game, it wasn't all that. Like it had its flaws.
Very much so.
But having said that, once you learn how to play the game, a big thing is using the triggers to tilt the character.
Yep.
You start to kind of get good at it. And some of my favorite games are kind of like that. Like Jet Set Radio, I will talk to people and they're like, yeah, it's not that great though because there's this the controls had issues or the camera had issues. And I'm like, I mastered the controls and the camera to the point where I don't see those flaws. And I think that's where Sonic R fans are probably coming from. They master it to the point where they're like, what flaws? This game's perfect. But it really is a beautiful game. I think outside of the music, which is super catchy.
Right. Great music.
The graphics are just so pretty to look at. And you don't really get that all that much on the Saturn. I think a lot of the 3D games, I don't know, it feels like a 3D environment, because it is, that you can go up different levels and you can go around loops. And that's something that doesn't really exist on the Saturn. I feel like a lot of games are on a flat plane. Even some of the greatest games are on a flat plane, like all the fighters. But here, like, you're moving all over the place. You're playing as all these different characters. On top of that, they have all these new, like, metal versions, like Metal Knuckles and Tails Doll and all that. So there's these, like, deep cuts for fans. But I guess what I really liked about it was ambitious. And that's something that I feel like Sonic Team themselves were lacking when it came to Sonic games at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were putting all their effort into Burning Rangers, Nights into Dreams. But when it came to Sonic, they're like, oh, let's make a cool compilation disc with, like, a fun little... And we didn't know at the time they were, you know, at work on Sonic Adventure, which was, you know, probably, like, peak Sonic Team pulling out all the stops. But, yeah, it just... It's kind of surprising that this British company that ended up making, like, Lego games...
oh, yeah.
Made the first real 3D Sonic game. Yeah, so...
My opinion on Sonic art, great soundtrack, the aesthetics are really, really good. I think it really shows you that people were dying to have Sonic in 3D, especially in this time era, that literally this is people's favorite game. And I think a lot of it has to do, I think what you said, like they mastered the controls, they like the aesthetics, it's cozy, it's a cozy game to play, it has great music with really nice vibes, very vibrant, but it's so frustrating that they couldn't get it to the pop-ins to work, the limitation on the controls to work for more mainstream audience. Because I feel like if they delayed it and they actually had an actual, I don't know, like AM3 helping them get to run smoother and stuff, they could have had a game that would have probably sold a lot of Sega Saturns because of how desperate people were for more Sonic. So yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. I like this pick. It's an interesting game, and it's like not your typical racing game in a car. So that's another interesting thing that they dropped. But I think
outside of Amy, Amy's in a car for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, what's the next?
All right, so the next one is going to be our favorite 3D platformer. I'll go first. I'll keep it with the Sonic Team vibe. I picked Burning Rangers, released in 1998 from Sonic Team. I feel like, you know, nowadays, you know, you spoke of it, I think, a few episodes ago. You have this, like, way now to play any Saturn game on the real hardware with this, like, little...
Saru.
What is it?
Saru.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Saru. But, is it you? I don't know. I forgot what it's spelled like. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but for several years, like, Burning Rangers was one of those games where... Unless you had the physical English version, you really couldn't claim to have, like, truly played it. The Japanese imports, unless you understand Japanese, is largely unplayable. Just because, and this is why I think it's one of my favorite 3D platformers for the console, it uses a mix of 3D environments and audio, which I think is so cool because it's... You're getting these, you know, messages from your other teammates telling you which way to go, and warning you of upcoming you know, fires. And then you have these visuals of, like, walls getting hot and getting red, and then the fires spreading, and being able to, like, shoot and, like, put them out. It's like levels of detail that you really don't even see until. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like the GameCube era. Like, even I don't think the Dreamcast had games that did stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
But then I feel like as time went on, we started getting 3D games where you could shoot water. And I was thinking about Mario Sunshine, you know, like, you clean things off of stuff. Like, you didn't really see that in the Dreamcast era. But I think once technology improved... You started to kind of see it was almost like pressure washing platformers.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so there's so much going on visually with this game. There's so many visual tricks. The fact that they were able to make transparencies work when they were thought to be impossible.
They do a lot of stuff here. There's like a whole video I watched about how he uses the two CPUs and to like render some lights, and this one renders this, and how they meshed it together. People consider this like a Sega Saturn work of 3D art. This game, I actually enjoyed. I think it's very, oddly enough, underrated. Because Saga, I think, gets more talk about because of how rare it is than Burning Rangers does. Burning Rangers is obviously rare, but it's one of those games where I got to give Sonic Team credit. It really showed that they knew how to develop games. I know people make fun of post Dreamcast Sonic Team for being like, oh man, their games are so glitchy, their engine sucks. But this engine really showed that they could be top tier AAA developer. Like, I don't think there's anybody that made a game in this era that looked this nice. Like, some of the parts of the game remind me of like Metal Gear Solid, but Metal Gear Solid used so many tricks to get it to look good, like shooting from the top, only shooting at certain angles to make the graphics look and stand out. This one does it, and you're running in 3D with a 3D modern camera. It's more action-packed, so definitely a big... Yeah, I agree. This is a great pick, so nothing bad to say about Burning Rangers myself.
Yeah, and we have a Burning Rangers episode, so you can check that out. I remember mentioning how the game reminded me of like a precursor to Phantasy Star Online. It has a lot of visuals and even like weapons usage that you will see carry over to PSO. So if you're a big PSO fan, you know, pick this game up. It's only like, what, $350. So.
Oh, yeah. Or you could just get a backup.
Saru.
Yeah, you could just get it like that. Honestly, at the Sega Saturn, to enjoy it, a lot of the English patch games need you to, you know, play backups. At least burn them, right? So you could burn the games.
Burning Rangers.
Yeah, makes sense.
Burn it. Burning Rangers. Tell me what yours is. This is weird. What is this?
Is this a... Let me see. Which one is this? Wait. Is this my... because Burning Rangers, is that really a platformer, by the way? I keep on forgetting this is a platform section. So I picked...
Yeah.
Ninpin Manmaru. It's a Japanese exclusive platformer game. This game, I think it's based on a Japanese cartoon. I thought I had the English version video up, but I guess it's the Japanese. This has been English patched recently, too, so you could play the story, which you don't need to play it in English, but it's a Japanese children's game. But I really like the way they try to do the 3D. It reminded me kind of a Croc, but way better a little bit.
Mario 64.
Exactly, on the Sega Saturn. This is exclusive for what I know. For the Saturn, and I think it's a really cool little game that no one talks about. It's a cool import. Check. I know Barry doesn't have any memories with this game because he's probably never even heard of it or seen it.
No, I haven't. I love it, though.
So, yeah, it's just a cool, nice, little cute aesthetic. There's so many good Japanese Sega Saturn games that people kind of like don't play. This is one of the cute little ones that is cool to play with, I don't know, someone that's younger, usually, like... But I like it just because it's just so simple, the game. There's nothing like special about it, but considering the age it came out on when Sega Saturn didn't have a Mario... Like, now every game is Mario 64, like every platformer copies it, right? This is before that, and this is a pretty special little game. What are your thoughts on the graphics and the vibes of the game?
I mean, like I said, it really feels like Mario 64 for the Saturn, and you said it was a kid's game. It most definitely is, but I think... At this point in time, you know, like I said, like you're still kind of wrestling with what the system's capable of. Mm. So when you're making a kids-focused 3D platformer on something like the Saturn, it actually is like a nominally difficult game for adults, which is perfect because I feel like they made it like the adult 3D platformers were insanely difficult because they're like, oh, we got to give people a challenge, and it's like. You know, it's already a challenge to play 3D games on this console, so you're putting a challenge on top of a challenge. Another game that kind of reminds me of that is, I forgot what the Japanese name is, but it's the Samurai Pizza Cats NES game.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'll hear people say, oh, it's so much fun, but it's a kid's game, so it's like easy, you can complete it. And I'm like, that's amazing, because based on what I hear about NES games, a lot of them are unplayable because they're so difficult. Like,
oh yeah,
you know. There's a reason why YouTubers like AVGN made it like you know, like a whole series of him like playing the most simple, like Dick Tracy is impossible. Like that shouldn't be how it works. But it did.
Only thing I would say that is frustrating about this game and that almost makes it good, it's just the platforming back then. Like they couldn't get the aiming Like, you know what I'm talking about? When you think you're jumping and you're like, I'm going to make it, and you don't make it, and you're like, ah, because of the way the camera angles. It could be a right. bit annoying. The guy that's playing this is really good compared to me because I miss a lot of jumps. It's still worth checking out. If you guys never played this game, check it out. Ninpin Men Maru. And it's been English patched, and I think it also has a name of like the Ninja Penguin, Men Maru the Ninja Penguin. So check it out. Definitely worth it.
I love it. Great pick. Coming up next, we have our favorite 3D RPG. I will go first because we got to get this out of the way. Panzer Dragoon Saga, obviously. Team Andromeda.
Is it good?
It's all right. 1998. I believe we've also done a whole Sega talk on this game. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. It's wild that in the very short lifespan that the Sega Saturn had, the Panzer Dragoon Saga series was able to spit out three games, right. plus a Game Gear one, so four games technically, and get to the point where it's like, oh yeah, now we're doing the epic RPG, like, already. And it's just wild to me, because any other franchise really maybe made it like one or two games on the Saturn and then really started to glow on Dreamcast or third-party consoles, but there's so much to be said about this game. The visuals, the music, the 3D graphics, the gameplay, the fact that it's actually not that long a game, which is great. No. I feel like it's the perfect length.
It doesn't make itself, it's more like an action game length, to be honest with you, like a modern action game length, which is perfect, because I'll play like an Uncharted game and I'll be like, 12 hours, perfect. I can move on with my life. Like, or, you know what I mean? You get enough story, enough action segments to be like a movie, like a video game movie in a way.
Right, exactly. And so it's, I mean, so much has been said about it.
I think everyone considers themselves a big fan of this game, right? Like, I don't think I've ever seen one YouTuber that goes, Panzer Dragoon Saga, absolutely trash. Never play it. Don't play it. Mario 64 is a better RPG than this, or whatever, you know?
It's got such a interesting aesthetic and feel to it. It makes total sense too that, you know, this team would go on to make some of the best Xbox games, in my opinion, with Orta and Jet Set Radio Future, and Valkyrie is a pretty great game.
They are the Xbox. I mean, I can't think of it. Halo, does anybody even like that? Are you Christian? What are you guys doing, man? get over yourselves. Anyway, as Panzer Dragoon Saga, it's one of those games that I'm happy to own. It's like one of those like that I'm probably never going to get rid of, to be honest with you, even if it goes
no
up.
No point.
Especially with the way pricing is going with Saturn. And it's still not that ancient. Like, there's stuff that you could buy from the 1920s that never went up in value the way that Panzer Dragoon Saga went up in value in the last 10 years. So I would say this game is amazing. I love the graphics. I love the art style. I think it's the best thing they had going for it. It had this Mad Max world with dragons that you, at the time, you didn't really see back then, and making an RPG where you ride dragons. It's funny because now they have a whole HBO show, House of Dragons, with people riding. And the whole time I'm like, man, it kind of makes me a little sad that Sega pretends that Panzer Dragoon is not really a more worthwhile franchise to bring up or talk about, because like you'll see Virtual Fighter, you'll see them bring up Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio even gets love from them, but the Panzer Dragoon seems like after the Dreamcast and the Xbox, they were like, Panzer what? I forgot.
Right. Yeah, it's a shame, but at least Jet Set Radio is coming back. I'm happy to hear that. But
yeah,
what is your favorite 3D RPG?
So there's not too many RPGs. I picked Grandia. There's a sequel on the Dreamcast that I was more familiar with, but this game actually really surprised me at how I love the little anime intro. I'm gonna skip it though, just so we can show the actual 3D gameplay in here. It has 2D sprites in a way, but it has this 3D background, and technically this is still the best way to play the game. It's considered to be and there's also this is a Japanese only release, but there's an English patch too. Thankfully, fans have translated the whole game, so you can now play it the way it was meant to be played, because I think the re-release they released is the PlayStation 1 version, and the PlayStation 1 version is considered inferior because this one has more effects in the game. So this the best version of it by Game Arts released on the Sega Saturn, surprisingly enough. I just love these little RPGs. It reminds me a lot of Shining Force 3, which I just also picked as one of the games. But I love that it looks like you're looking at a town in this, like, kind of like a game field. Like, you know those D&D games I used to play with little fake houses? I just love that feel and look in RPGs of this era. And I think this game does it the best. And obviously it looks the best on Sega Saturn. Have you played this first one?
I feel like I've tried it on some compilation or something, but no, I'm more familiar with the sequel, which I have on Dreamcast. But you know what I really love about the graphics here, and we didn't really, when we approached our picks, we didn't like try to do like, oh, this game showcases this 3D effect and this game show. But if I could call out something here, I think this is a great blend of the Saturn's ability to have great 2D graphics and also be able to handle 3D graphics. In this video, there's this amazing, at about 5 minutes, flyover of the city.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, it's very
great
cool.
Intro.
It's really beautiful. It almost gives me, like, a weird comparison, like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but like, or Beetlejuice, you know, where it's like flying over a model.
Right. And it feels just, so alive.
It does, and again, the camera does not feel like fixed and locked in. And again, going back to like their 3D racers, like I feel like some of the best Saturn games are where the camera kind of feels a little off kilter, or it moves with the characters. It gives it a little life and a little more cinematography than, say, you know, some of those early 3D games where it was just kind of like locked behind the car. You know, dead on.
I think also
visually, it reminds me of Project Cross Zone too.
I was gonna say, the one thing that you do notice about this game compared to PlayStation 1 3D is that it doesn't have the wonky lines at all. Have you noticed that? It has that kind of aesthetic of the PlayStation, but without the wonky, ugly lines that later 3D games they had. So that's why I really like this. This is one of the games I show people, like, looks, Sega Saturn could do 3D like those RPGs you enjoyed on PlayStation 1. And he could do it better in some cases. So this is definitely a cool game. Pick it up. Play the English patch version. It's worth your guys' time. Or even pick up the HD remaster. I don't think it's that bad, the little effects you miss. But it's nice to let people know that the best version's on this. So,
yeah, great pick. My next, or the next category that we're looking at, are our favorite 3D hidden gem. These are games that, and to be quite honest, your Ninja Penguin game is kind of a hidden gem.
I would say so, yeah.
But yeah, for me, my favorite 3D hidden gem is a little game called Pandemonium. And this was developed by Toys for Bob in 1997. You mentioned to me before we started recording, you forgot how long a history Toys for Bob had. They were shut down right in 2000 this year.
I heard that,
if I'm not mistaken.
Or were they? I thought they were working.
Oh,
with,
they were spun off.
Yeah, they were spun off. I think they're working on like Call of Duty crap. I mean stuff. Sorry. I heard they're back on Call of Duty DLC or something.
Yeah. So they've worked on like Star Control, Skylanders, Crash Bandicoot. Honestly, this is a game I'd like to do a Sega talk on, just because it'll give us a opportunity to talk about them. They're such an interesting company, just because, as I mentioned, like they were doing Amiga and 3DO games, then all of a sudden they get the Horde for Sega Saturn, which I've never played. It looks interesting, but Pandemonium really looks like their first real 3D platformer, and kind of setting the stage for what would later happen with, oddly enough, 102 Dalmatians Puppies to the Rescue, which is
top-tier
on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, one of the
I love that game because there's a bark button. And you just go, bark, Bark.
Every game needs a bark button. Even like games you play as humans needs.
Button. Like games with bark buttons, games without bark buttons. Like Shenmue, no bark button. Garbage.
What's up with that?
Yeah, 102 Dalmatians, puppies to the rescue, bark button. It's fun to say bark button, but yeah, Pandemonium is such an. I mean, it's a 2.5D platformer, so let's not act like it's a real 3D game.
I mean, I think back then, if you asked people about that, they'd be like, "Yeah, that's not a real one." But like, isn't sort of like Crash Bandicoot also a? I mean, it's not 2D, but it's like a back kind of like that's not really 3D either.
But I picked this one because I feel like there are better known games in this category that I honestly don't think are all that great. Like Clockwork Knight 1 and 2 I think are just fine.
I like the aesthetics of those games because it reminds me of Toy Story, but besides that, yeah. I agree, they're not the greatest. They're like just like those budget fun games that you're like, oh, I had fun playing it, but it's nothing special.
Right, and then with Bug and Bug 2, like they're more like sprite games with 3D backgrounds.
Yeah.
But here, Pandemonium, it's a real hidden gem. You play as Fargus or Nikki, so you can either play as a Joker or a Sorceress, which means they each have their own little skills. And it's really fun to jump in this game. I feel like the platforming itself is very... What am I trying to say? Like, I don't
satisfying.
Feel like I miss... Yeah, like, I feel like I'm doing, like... it's almost like Nights into Dreams, but, like, on foot.
Right.
Because when you figure out how to do all those fun little tricks and flips and stuff in the air, the game Nights becomes really fun. And in this game, once you kind of get the double jump and the bouncing down and the spin attacks, it's just a lot of fun to move through the stages. Story-wise, there's a story, but, you know, I don't really follow it. But... funny enough, I actually played through this game on the iPhone. It had an iOS release, and
when?
As I was back in 2009, so quite a long time ago.
Toys for Bob did it, or was it licensed?
I think they might have done it. I could be wrong, but yeah, and it was just like. I was really enjoying it, and I'm like, what is this game? Because clearly this is not new. This is an old game. And I think it might have been in the reviews on the App Store. People were like, oh, I love this on Saturn. I'm like, oh. So I picked up the Saturn version, and it's also really fun.
Right.
And you look at the reviews for it, too. It most definitely is a hidden gem. It was getting a lot of 9 out of 10s, 88 out of 100. So it was... well received, especially for the Saturn.
Yeah, this is a good pick, and I agree with you. I'm surprised at how Sega did not pick this up as something to advertise with their games, because at this point they were losing a lot of third party because of the way they acted towards them. And this is one of those games that you could have single boosted as a 3D platformer game, especially when you didn't have Sonic the Hedgehog, sadly, at the time.
It's almost like Saturn's Klonoa. That's kind of
exactly.
how I see it.
Yeah, that's actually what it reminds me of. And the aesthetics of it kind of reminded me of like a... this is going to say like almost like it's a bad thing, but since I've seen a lot of these type of movies growing up, I don't think it's bad. But like, you ever go when you would go to your grandma's or somewhere and they had like a knockoff Disney movie where it was like a different studio? And the movie was fine. It wasn't as good as Disney, but it was fun. This kind of reminds me of like a Disney like side property or something, like a company that designed a movie to be like a princess movie or something, but then it wasn't, and this is it.
Right.
I saw one of like Snow White like that.
Yeah, another comparison I could make is that it very much looks like an American or English developed game, which is not a bad thing, because I feel like a lot of times you'll play a game and you're like, oh, this was made in Japan, but they're hiding the fact. But this game, it very clearly looks like it was Western made. It almost kind of has like, if it was 2D, it would be like a shareware game on like an IBM computer. Like it's got these aesthetics that look very dated, but they work. And I don't know, it's like, it's cute, it's fantastical. I really like, and again, going back to their later games from the studio, like I like how it's, even though it's 2.5D, it moves around a lot. It's very creative with how the map works, so the camera's moving around, and very rarely does it actually, like, hinder the gameplay, and that's why I really like it. So I definitely put this up there with, like, Rayman and Klonoa, but it's just no one talks about it. It's a weird name, Pandemonium.
Hard to say.
But yeah, that's my pick, and I don't know how much it goes for on eBay, but I don't think it goes for a lot. So
$50 at least, you think? Dude, Tetris Plus is going for what, 20 now? It's like even Tetris is going.
It's going for 85 now, but you can get disc only for like $30.
You need the box. That big box looks beautiful on your desk.
It is a cool box.
So I picked Bulk Slash. You ever play Bulk Slash?
I've heard of it.
So they did an English patch recently, another one that got English. They even did the dub for it because in the game they speak Japanese, and when you're in the plane, they're like, do this, do that, go back, or whatever. And so they actually got voice actors to come in on the patch to do it. But this game, I think it's a hidden gem. The plane is 2D. It's one of those games that uses both assets. I think a lot of games back then did that where they're like, all right, the main character's a 2D sprite, but the backgrounds are all 3D. And this is one. It's very simple. It's a cool, fun game. It really lets you basically fly around and destroy bases. It's a cool look at if we got more games like these on Saturn. I really like the aesthetics. I like the mech type games on Saturn, and this is a really good one. I think no one talks. I think people that are, it's kind of hard to know what is a hidden gem for our audience when they've already like scoured the internet themselves, like us, for all the new games that they haven't tried. But I don't feel like people talk too much about this when they talk about Saturn, do they?
I really like the anime talking heads coming in and how there's like interesting little animations, like they'll put their hand on their chin or like wind will blow them. Very cool. It also gives me kind of like Virtual On vibes, which
for
is
sure.
Yeah,
which is another good 3D game on here. I did have the trailer for the English release if you want to watch it.
Yeah, let's check it out.
It's 41 seconds, so it's not too bad.
Oh God!
I can't take reels are only 15 seconds, buddy. What are you doing? All right, let's watch it. I'm playing play. They redid the logo. Looks sharp.
That first shot in this trailer is like 100% Virtual On.
Right, exactly. Yeah, definitely inspired by Virtual. And I think they did a good job. I like it's sometimes weird when you play a game in Japanese so long and then you like see the font in English and you're like, whoa, that's what it looked like in English. Obviously, it's a twin stick shooter. If you have the twin sticks on the Saturn, this game's actually way better. Mm-hmm. If you are lucky enough to own them, are you lucky enough to own them?
No. Well, Twin Stick, I bought for the Dreamcast not too long ago, but I don't have the Saturn one.
What do you think about the Saturn Fox cover they did? They did like their own little cover on the end of the trailer for the
I think
bulk
it's cute.
I like it.
I like how it looks dated.
Yeah, it looks like it would have came out. I'm gonna maybe print it out and put the fake game in, but then I'm like, I don't have any cases. That's the thing with the Sega Saturn. You like... The cases are so expensive, replacement cases, that even for a project, you're like, do I really want to pay, what, $15 a case to have for this? But yeah. What's your next game? Which one did we... Oh, yeah, overall game. What's your favorite overall game, Barry?
My favorite overall game is... Are you ready for it?
Oh, man. Please don't tell me.
Oh, man.
It could be anything.
It's Nights into Dreams.
I think everyone's overall game. This is one of the games that was the most sponsored for the Sega Saturn, really. Like, it had, like, kiosks in stores. If you happen to see the Sega Saturn as a kid anywhere or as an adult, I don't know how old you guys are, or it didn't exist, this game, then we're telling you, this game was in the malls everywhere. It would be next to PlayStation, it'd be this game playing.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, Sonic Team, 1996, this was them coming off of Sonic the Hedgehog and really throwing a curveball. We can debate if it was a good idea or not to like make this game. I think it was. I think they should have followed up with the 3D Sonic game after this, though. But having said all that, it's obviously a classic Saturn game. Maybe it was a system seller at the time. It was a little wacky, but then again, I feel like it fits with the times. I feel like Jesters were big. I mean, we just looked at another Jester game not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the music's great. The graphics are great. I loved all the effects that they were able to do. I love the waterfall and being able to, like, go under it and it splashes on you. I had a friend who was like, oh, you got to look at the waterfall. Go look at the waterfall. But my only maybe negative is that you weren't able to, like, explore the stage in 3D because
they should have had a mode.
You weren't supposed to.
Right.
Yeah, like a free reign, like a free roaming mode.
Right.
Would have been nice. But yeah, having said that, like, you know, it beautiful game, excellent game. I loved Christmas Nights too. I feel like it's almost like I can't mention one without the other. I'm glad that they bundled them together in the later releases that came out. But what are your thoughts on Nights into Dreams?
Incredible game at the time, graphically. Very unconventional for Sonic Team to do something like this, because it's technically like a racing game, but you're not really racing. You're really just trying to get the high score. There's never been a game kind of quite like this game at the time, so they definitely had a brand new, unique idea behind it. And I agree that some of the graphical things they did in this game really did sell the Saturn's 3D capabilities early on. One of the other ones that reminds me that always, you know, kind of like blew my mind was the mushroom stage where the floor like shapes when you touch it. And also the mirrors, having a actual reflection on mirrors, to me blew my mind back then. So this game is definitely looking, it has cool aesthetics, cool music. It has a very cool Sonic Team feel of the era. This guy, so if Sonic was supposed to be Michael Jackson influence, this is definitely Prince influence for sure.
Right, 100%.
So yeah, that was that's a good pick. Obviously, I agree with it. But what did I pick? Did I remember? Oh, I picked Shining Force 3. So I think Shining Force 3 is, I don't want to say underrated, but it's a shame that the game never got more love in the by Sega of America, and the team did not come back after this. I think they could have done a lot of big things with them and expanded mm-hmm. their RPG catalog, especially now that they have Atlas and stuff. It almost feels like they could have had their own sort of like team moving forward with Atlas. I think the graphics in the background in this game are great. I love how the characters look. Like I told you, I love that whole RPG aesthetic where you're looking down into like a little town, it looks like. And this game also does it really well. If anything, I think it does some aspects of it even better. If you look at like, I don't know, let me see over here. I'm trying to look if it goes all the way to the port. But in like an hour and 12 minutes, the little Portland, little things like that, I really like it. I like the way it looks when you're battling. I like the little grid system they did. I think it all just looks really nice. And then the zoom-ins for the attack. So, very cool game. A game that definitely, I think, looks better than something like Final Fantasy VII. And I know there's going to be a lot of people to be like, nah, but Final Fantasy VII did this and that. And I'm like, I don't know. I just like the look, the art, and the characters and the way that the characters look chibi small when you're moving them around. I just think it all ties in really, really well. It's a really nice game, really good music. And there's three of them, so there's like 70, 80 hours worth of gameplay for you. 90 yeah. hours, depending on how much you put into it. So, yeah. Nice. And that's all our games. And now we're going to talk about the mentions, right?
Yeah. So these are our also worth mentioning picks. We don't have to go too far into them, but I figure we could go through and just say a thought we have about them. So for me, my picks are Tempest 2000. I think this is just a really cool modern take on the classic Tempest game. Beautiful 3D graphics. It's definitely, I don't know, kind of got a like Rez vibe to it. Like it's really... experimental, different, and it's not something you, I don't know, usually expect on the Saturn. My next one would be The Lost World, Jurassic Park. I picked this one just because I feel like at the time, I feel like up until the Genesis era, licensed games were all over the place, and then we kind of hit a point where it costs too much money to make a 3D licensed game, so they really scaled back. Like, you look at the Saturn library, and there aren't that many licensed games based on movies. But here we had, you know, the sequel to one of the biggest box office, you know, what do you call it? Box office
movies,
bonanzas, movies. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
at the time, and so it only makes sense that they would make a Jurassic Park game. But I think it's cool to go from like Genesis and playing Jurassic Park 1 to go to Saturn. You get to play The Lost World Jurassic Park 2. The game itself is all right. It's, you know, a 2.5D platformer, but I think it's cool to walk around as dinosaurs and have that Jurassic Park aesthetic. Also, Michael Giacchino did the music, and he ended up doing the music for all the Jurassic World movies. So it's kind of wild that this guy like gets his start in the industry doing like little piddly video game soundtracks, and then he ends up doing like Rogue One and like all the Pixar movies. It's like it's
kind of
cool.
He knows what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah. And then my other pick is Virtualon. I mentioned it earlier, but it's, you know, I you know, considered putting this as my fighting game, but it's more of like a combat game. We kind of didn't really have the category on there. So, still a fantastic game. Die Hard Arcade.
Amazing. That's a great game.
Really fun game. Probably up there. I hesitated to put it in my favorite 3D all-around game, but it's definitely up there. And then, of course, the Panzer Dragoon 1 and 2, but I feel like they get overshadowed by Zwei.
Yeah.
Or by Saga, I
Saga,
should say.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah. What are yours?
So I put Tarumaru. This is a kind of a Japanese-only game. Put Saturn in the end because there's like an anime that has like a little girl with a puppy that comes up if you put that. It has an ugly cover. Very like no one would want to play it. But the game is a 3D, 2.5D action game that kind of reminds me a lot of like Shinobi. It's very like old school with magic, ninja period. It's very fun. It's very interesting. And on my list that I picked, I try to do different genres. So this is a 2.5D sort of like Shinobi type. It's not really like Shinobi, but it reminds me a lot of Shinobi, the aesthetics and stuff. So definitely check it out if you were hunkering for a 3D, 2.5D sort of action game. This game is underrated. Definitely worth checking out. I picked Side Pocket 3. But George, why do you pick a Japanese-only... pool game. A, pool's fun. Second of all, this is actually a pretty impressive pool game. Like, it has the physics of the pool table really well done on Sega Saturn. It even has a little story mode where you talk to people. And they even have, like, an open world where you have to walk to the thing. And the open world... It's not even an open world. It's like a little mansion thing. And it reminds me of Resident Evil 1, but somehow the graphics in this look better than the Sega Saturn Resident Evil 1 when you walk to your pool table. So I'm like, it's crazy that this game is just a pool game, but it looks so nice for a pool game on Sega Saturn. Thunder Force 5. Thunder Force, Sega owns the team now, so they technically own this game. This is an all 3D shoot-em-up, which is kind of rare in this period. And I think PlayStation 1 tried to do it, but they always had slowdown. This game has slowed down, obviously, because of limitations, but it's really nice, high action-packed game. And I feel like Thunder Force 3 and 4 were some of the best-looking games on the Sega Genesis. So this is a cool-looking game. Power Slave is my next one. This game is just so smooth, so violent, so crisp. And you get a big picture. Back then, some of these games like Doom on 32X, they always screwed them all up. This game is so crazily smooth. It's such a good port of the game that you could trick me sometimes into thinking that it could be a PC version of the game. So, very well done. Decathlete. This game is a good, just basically a Olympic game. It has really good graphics. It's really fun to play. It's kind of underrated, in my opinion. It really shows you that the Sega Saturn could do more realistic graphics. And I kind of cheated and added a little more, but I also have Enemy Zero, which in my opinion, has good 3D CGI in this game that it's underrated. It's very... A lot of people don't like this game because of it has to do a lot with sounds, and it's not action-based. But it's worth checking out. It's really expensive, but I really like the CGI of the very early CGI. Like, you got to understand, this is the time period where Pixar barely made Toy Story, and you got people making video games with CGI cutscenes and stories already. So it's very cool early 3D game. So any of these games that you remember yourself, have you played Side Pocket 3 on, from Japan only, or Thunder Force 5, or Power Slave? You played Power Slave, right?
I've played Power Slave. I've heard of Decathlete. It was actually on some of the videos I was watching. Enemy Zero I have the Japanese version of, and then Virtual Cop 1 and 2. We just did an episode for.
We did, yeah. And my other one is obviously Virtual Cop 1 and 2, which we did a whole episode about Virtual Cop, but it definitely revolutionized the Sega Saturn and light gun genre. Both games should be one game, to be honest with you, because that would make them six levels, and I think that's a lengthy light gun game. Yeah. All right.
But we do have some Patreon memories that we can raid. Right at the end of this show. So Michael S., his memory is of Nights into Dreams. He says, it's one of my only Saturn games I played. Well, it was a new console and it blew me away. I had to be physically removed from the Toys R Us kiosk and couldn't convince my parents to buy me one. As a Saturn owner later in life, Shining Force 3 is the funnest 3D game I've played. Panzer Dragoon Zwei is like everyone else is saying, actually all the Panzer Dragoon games. They have really unique art style and world. The Sonic Jam world section is super interesting, showing what a 3D Sonic game could have been. Bulk Slash is also a really fun game. Reminds me of Ghost in the Shell game I had for PS1. And then we have a memory here from Ando. Said that honor probably belongs to Sonic R. Oh, I should mention, I asked them what their favorite 3D Saturn games are. He said, considering how much I've played and replayed it, and still do to this day, Virtual On is close second, though. Then we have the fighting games and Sega Rally. I've played so much Sega Rally with my dad. Funnily enough, back then, I never felt like the Saturn was worse at 3D than the PlayStation, and it never really was a topic that came up in magazines or conversations. Looking back now, it becomes more obvious in some instances, but I feel like the 3D Saturn generally hold up very well. And then Michael S. actually replied to him and said, I owned a Saturn later in life and always read it was a terrible 3D console, but there are some really great 3D games. They just ended up hidden gems. I think they failed to make 3D games for their most well-known franchises, which caused this perception that it was a bad 3D console. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so there you have it. We presented 10 games, a bunch of runners-ups. I think, would you say we dispelled the myth that the Saturn is a bad 3D console?
I mean, I don't think it's terrible. I think at the time people were looking, I don't even know what they were looking for at the time. I think it was just people talking, I'm going to be honest with you. Because like when I was coming up, I was like, man, can I even come up with enough to do a whole episode? Then my list was even like longer than I assumed it was going to be. And a lot of them were exclusive and weird Japanese games that no one talks about. So I would agree. I think the Sega Saturn is fine for 3D. But I find myself when I go back and play, I play more 2D games. And there's way more 2D games that are great on the Sega Saturn. It's insane. Like, if you like 2D games, don't even look at the Nintendo 64. Maybe look a little bit at the PlayStation, but mostly on the Saturn. Sure.
Right, yeah, 100%. Maybe that's a future show we could do. Best 2D games and on the Saturn.
Anything else you want to add?
No, but I did want to tease or reveal the next episode. You know what it is?
Frontiers.
That's right, the little-known 3D Sonic game, Sonic Frontiers. George is going to be talking about that on the next one, episode 149. 150 is coming up. Did we even like think of what we would be talking about? I guess we don't really. It's like every 100 episodes we talk about Outrun.
Right, so we have the Outrunners.
I don't know about that. What was Sega Talk episode 150 or episode 50? I have to look at that. That would tell us. Sonic 2.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Sonic.
All right, we'll catch you guys next time on Sega Talk. Bye.
Bye.
Hit it. Enjoy the song.
Hit it. Did it, did it, did it.
Ready for a trip. It's time to take a ride. George and Barry talking about the saving fire. From the old school games to the modern scene. Let the retro groove reign supreme. Yeah.
faded dreams and neon lights, turning memories into podcast delights. The Sega beats, they'll make you sway with George and Barry. It's a Sega day.
Oh yeah,
we're talking Sega. Feel the groove.
Uh-huh.
With George and Barry, we're in the mood. Airwaves bringing back the fun, talking about the hits from the Sega sun. Genesis, Thunder, and Saturn's might. Every episode of Game at Night. All right. Tap into the classics, feel the funky flow. Each episode a journey where the good times go. With Barry and George, it's a jam-packed ride. Dive into the Sega tide side by side.
Ooh, yeah.
We're talking Sega, feel the groove.